It's about time to begin our morning worship service. If you would, come in, grab a songbook. First song will be number 387. 387. We'd like to welcome the visitors that are here this morning. If you would, take time to fill the gray card in the pew in front of you. You can either leave it on the pew or put it in the contribution box in the back, so we'll have a record of your attendance. Also, get a loaf of homemade bread on the way out. We'll sing the first and third verse, and then we'll have our opening prayer, number 387. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Please. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to come together as a loving and unified congregation of believers. Father, we pray that our worship today is pleasing to you. Father, it is our desire to honor and glorify you in all that we do and all that we say. Father, we praise you and we praise your name. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Father, we are flawed and unworthy. You are perfect, all-wise, and all-powerful. We are so blessed to have a Father who loves us so much that he would sacrifice his one and only Son for us. Father, today we pray for our families. We pray for our husbands and wives and the relationships. We pray for our children. We pray that we would continue to raise them in a way that they would never stray from a love of serving you and serving others. We pray that they would always remember who they are and where they come from. Father, we pray for all those on our prayer list today. We thank you for all those answered prayers that you've blessed us with. Father, pray that you would be with Charlie this morning as he delivers the message that he has prepared. Father, we thank you for being the loving Father that you are, and we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next hymn be 595. seems like it never fails when I'm out mowing the 6-acre yard. I take a break and I check my phone. I got a text from Steve Taylor, because everybody thought Steve was going to be up here today. He said, "Kurt, we got a problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I'm 800 miles away. I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, no problem. We'll handle it." I said, "Be safe and travel home as soon as you can." I wanted to tell him, "You better put it in high gear and get your tail back here," but I didn't, you know. Because I don't know what he was doing 800 miles away, but I'm sure it was work-related. So anyway, 595, we'll sing the first and last verse. "I come to the heart of the Lord. Sing the first, second, and fourth. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Steve, my voice was a lot better when I gave you this list. Number 860. I'll sing the first and the last.
Fill my love, living God. Oh,
for the Lord's Supper, number 349. Sing the first, second, and fourth.
If you didn't get a chance to get the fruit of the vine or bread, please raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. Anybody need it? I don't see any. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read there in a minute, but I was thinking this morning, we were, Allie and I were talking to friends of ours recently about how we met our spouses. We were going back and forth and talking about the moment or the time frame when you realize, like, this is the person I'm supposed to be with. And it's no secret to anybody here that I'm way out of my league by a long shot, so it's easy for me to say that there's plenty of times in my life where I think about what would I do without my wife, where would I be? I mean, for me, I'd have like six dogs and live up in the mountains and be, I don't know. Who knows where I would be without my wife? I have no idea. And not just a spouse, but the people in our life. For me, that's easy to talk about my wife and my kids, and you think about, I don't know. My mind goes there from time to time, and you think about people that God has put in all of our lives who've had that impact, and what would we do? Where would we be
without them, without our family, without each other, friendships, our family, our spouses, those things are easy for us to remember and to think about, you know, while we're here together on this earth, because we see them every day, we interact with them every day, we think about the impact and the influence they have on our lives. We're here this morning with crackers and juice, but it's more than that. And that conversation made me think about what would I do? Where would I be without Jesus? Without the body of Jesus, without the blood of Jesus? It's so easy for me to take for granted because, you know, I grew up learning about it, grew up in a pew watching my parents take communion every Sunday, and kind of we go in and out and in and out every Sunday, and we do this thing. And for me, sometimes without fully recognizing how powerful this is and how important it is that God has given us something to see, something to touch, something to taste that would remind us, where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Where would we be without the sacrifice that he made for us? With no hope, no future, no path to be in the presence of God. And really, it's what we would all deserve. Where would we be without it? 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through verse 26. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and he said, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Will you pray with me for the bread? Father in heaven, we are so grateful and so humbled that you looked at us and called us worthy even when we were not. And we're so grateful that when you look on us, you see your Son. And we ask that you would guide our minds right now and our hearts as we pray, that you would bless this bread and help it to be that symbol, that remembrance that you wanted for us, to be able to think about your Son and think about where we would be without him and without the sacrifice that he made for us. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's pray together for the fruit of the vine. Father God, in the same way, we ask that you would guide our hearts and our minds as we think about the blood that Jesus shed for us. This new covenant that made it so that when you look on us, you see Jesus instead of our imperfection. Please bless this fruit of the vine and be with us as we commune in Jesus together. Amen. we use this time to pray for the offering as well. And as most of you know, there's boxes out in the foyer where we're called to give back to the work that God is doing. And I think it's, you know, at different points in time when looking for a job, I remember lots of people talking about, it's all who you know. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard that before. It's all who you know and the job that you get, and you got to know the right people. And that's we think about our work and how we, in the same way, where would we be without our families? Where would we be without the blessings that God has given us financially? And where do we put, where do we give credit for giving us those things? I'm talking to myself more than anybody here because I fail at that all the time. We think about, oh, we got it on our own gumption or our own hard work, but God has blessed us with the gifts that we have. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for the roofs over our heads, for this building, for this church, for the work that's being done in this community through the people that are here. Father, be with our hearts. Help us to give cheerfully and to give willingly. We love you in Christ's most holy name. Amen.
See, I already got a smile on her face. This is her song. 794. We'll sing all three verses. 794. Unto thee, O Lord. Number 904. 904 will be the invitation song.
Our scripture reading this morning will be Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading out of the ESV. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling. I can't say that word. To be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hatred by others, and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and Savior.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? I hope you're doing well. It's a nice kind of overcast morning, and hopefully there's rain in the forecast and in the future here, and we need to continue to please pray for rain in your private time with in prayer with God. Please don't slack up on that. We have a couple of cards here, dear church members, my name is Belinda Stone, the counselor at Guthrie Upper Elementary School. I want to express my sincere gratitude for helping some of our children with school supplies. It made their day, and there's an exclamation point. Your church is so good at supporting those in need. Thank you all so much. God bless, Mrs. Stone. That is in reference to the school supplies. Now, I want to apologize for my ignorance on this one. It's the inside story between me and Rick here. I'm an idiot. This has been on my desk for a couple weeks. It said return to sender. Well, the return to sender label was kind of over the address, which was sent to the congregation. Well, all I saw was Rick and Sierra, or Rick Duval in the corner. So I'm trying to give it back to Rick. He's like, no, it was sent to y'all. I'm an idiot. I just wanted to reach out and say thank you to the church. All of the prayers and condolences and really just folks reaching out about my father's passing was a great comfort to us. The plant was received and was beautiful and thoughtful as well. We've never been a part of a church family like this. It's been such a blessing to us in so many ways. What a wonder of God that we would be led here. Rick, Sierra, Jackson, Seven, and Wolfie. I'm very grateful that God has led y'all here. Y'all are wonderful addition to this family, and we love y'all and appreciate you and excited for the next couple weeks. Hang in there, Sierra. Rick, do your part. Don't know what it is, but just do your part. All right, bud? Ice cream, whatever. Doesn't matter. Just go get it. We only have, to my knowledge, we only have one birthday this week. So this is a special week for Brent Parr. He's the only one. He's solo this week. On the 30th is his birthday, so happy birthday to you, amigo. Is it 45 or 6? 45. We're only getting older if we think we are, right? Happy birthday to you. Hope it's a great one. Wanna remind us to be here tonight. It's going to be an educational meeting about helping us with our Wednesday night program. So really invite y'all to come back, and if you are teaching, helping, driving, herding, whatever the case may be, if you are helping with WBS in any way, shape, or form, or Wednesday night Bible school, please be here this evening at 5 o'clock, and we'll go through this with Jim and with Gay and with Ashley and with Sharon, I believe. And so be here tonight for an educational setting and allow us to ask questions about some issues. So look forward to that tonight. Wanna give another shout out. I don't think we can do this enough personally, but just wanna praise God for Alex Foshi wanting to turn his life over to God, wanting to change the direction he was headed in his life and has been, and he wanted to be forgiven, wanted to be a brother in Christ. And so I just praise God. And I said in there that a lot of times we think that's the finish line. No, this is the starting line. Being baptized is the starting line. Now we're running the race. So let's all get in there and run the race together and help each other out. We are in our final countdown on sticking out like a sore thumb. We've got this week and one more. And then we're going to be in a new series starting the second Sunday in September. And so just a reminder of sticking out like a sore thumb. We talked about our love sticking out like a sore thumb in this world, and our speech, the way we talk, sticking out like a sore thumb. The way we listen is supposed to stick out. Our anger, how we control it and how we apply it, is to stick out. Our service should stick out like a sore thumb. And last week we talked about our sacrifice should stick out like a sore thumb. This week, I think this one does not get enough publicity from the pulpit. And I apologize for that, but this is one we don't necessarily talk about enough, I believe, and it's one that may have more impact than what we think. Consideration, being considerate to others. Now we may be thinking, well, I'm considerate, I'm fairly considerate. Well, probably most of us are very considerate, but that is something that is going to stick out in a sore thumb in this world where consideration of others is lacking. If you think about it, just think back a couple years ago to the presidential debates. Wasn't that just appalling how neither person had enough consideration for the other to let them talk in their time that they was given, and you could rebut them. But no, it was just chaos. There was no consideration for either one of them. And that just really bothered me, that there was a lack of consideration between those two men to let the other one say what he was asked a question about, and you could respond. Both of them was appalling. So it's not a thing I'm playing favorites. They both stunk at considering others. Sometimes I think we lose interest in being considerate or considering others. Considerate, careful not to cause inconvenience or hurt to others is the actual definition of that. So that's an interesting wording on that. That's not one that, but inconvenience or hurt, not to cause inconvenience or hurt to others. This is actually, today's lesson is actually going to be kind of a setup lesson. I'm setting y'all up. Uh-oh. You don't like to be set up, do you? Too bad. You're going to get set up. This is actually going to follow up in the next series on consideration. So we're going to cover this one a couple of times in a roughly month span. But that's okay. It's going to be from a couple of different points of view. And so I hope you enjoy this lesson today and then the one to follow in another series in considering others. Why is it so hard to be considerate? You know, the word inconvenience is in the definition. And by not inconveniencing someone else, probably means it's going to inconvenience you. That's what's going to happen, brothers and sisters. So last night we went to a wedding down in Oklahoma City. David and Jenny Jones, their oldest girl, was married. And so we went down and stayed for the reception afterwards and the dinner and all that business. And it was wonderful and it was beautiful and it was everything it should have been for a bride on her wedding day. For the most part, not much for any hitches. I thought it was really smooth. So her granddad married them, which was wonderful. And I was talking with him afterwards, and he said, "Well, I have to do these differently because he's dyslexic." I was wondering why. I was like, "Why is he turning in his Bible?" That it seemed backwards to me from sitting in the. But he's dyslexic, and so he has to put things on different sides of the for reading purposes. Really, really interesting. But anyway, really a nice wedding. Just an enjoyable time. It reminded Lisa and I of go to a wedding. Those of us that's been married too long, not too long. That was the wrong way to say that. There's never enough time to be married to you, babe. That's not what I meant. Not too long. What I mean, those of us that have been married a long time, we forget. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the lesson today, but we forget about that time in our lives. And it reminded us of our wedding, and we got to talk about it afterwards and just brought up good memories of our wedding and my dad running late and all of those things. But anyway, we were there afterwards at the reception to eat, and thankfully, they didn't have enough tables, and they wound up setting up more tables, but there weren't enough tables. Thankfully, I was visiting, and we ran into some friends there from Memorial Road, and they all went, so all the girls and the women went and got chairs at a table. And so I come in and sit down, and right there, it appeared like she's right neck and neck with you, Sierra. There was a pregnant woman standing there, and I mean, she's right, like I say, she's about to go, about to domino. Well, I was like, oh, man. So we're visiting, and so I just got up and went over. I said, "Ma'am, this is going to be really strange, but because there's not a chair left. They're all took." I said, "Look," and I was sitting in between her and Aaron Condict. So, I mean, they're sitting in between two women. I said, "Ma'am," I said, I want to offer you that chair right there." And I said, "I know you don't know them, but they're two good women. And you'll fit right in and everything will be, and y'all can visit like all get out." I said, "It's okay." I said, "So just go sit in between them." And she just stood there and didn't know what to do. And I said, "No, I'm telling you, they're very nice women. You'll get along with them great." I said, "You seem like you're a nice woman." I looked at her husband. I hope that was her husband. Should have verified that. And I said, "I'm sure she's a nice woman." He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, you can fit right in with them." I said, just go sit down. I said, "I cannot." She said, No. "That's your chair." And I said, "Ma'am, I can't do it. I can't sit there while you stand. I can't." So I didn't go sit back in my chair. I wasn't going to sit in it. She wasn't going to sit in it. I wasn't going to sit in it. We're going to have a battle. So finally, there was a high table where you stand at. So I don't know what you call them. But anyway, you stand at them instead of sit at them. Well, somewhere they found a tall chair that would sit at that tall table. And she said, "Hey, we're gonna go sit over there. Please sit down with your family." And she said, "I really appreciate you offering me your chair." And I said, "No problem, ma'am." So as we got up to eat and go get in line and all that, and she was sitting there, and I walked by and I said to her husband, I said, "Well, I'm glad to see that she's sitting in it, not you, pal." And he was like, but, you know, I was making a joke. It's going to require that if it's not to inconvenience others, there's a chance that being considerate is going to inconvenience us. That's what's going to happen if we're going to be a considerate people in this world. And it stuck out like a sore thumb. Fact is, she came by later and told my wife how wonderful I was. Basically. and that every husband should be like me. Kinda. That's not what she said. No. That your husband needs to put on clinics on how to be a consider. That wasn't it either. Okay. She just said that was really nice of your husband to offer that. It made an impression to her, the consideration put forth. I hated to tell that story this morning because it seemed like I was bragging, and I'm not. I'm just using that as a real-life example of being considerate and how, hey, I wanted to sit down too. Standing is I like to move. Standing is a problem right now with the knee and everything. It just standing is a problem. So I want to sit down. Well, it was going to inconvenience me. But it was going to be to the convenience of someone else is the key. That's one of the reasons we lose consideration is because we know good and well it's going to inconvenience myself. That's what's going to happen. It's not going to be this deal where I can be considerate to someone and to myself all at the same time. Seldom is that going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Romans 12, 10 and 11. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Giving preference to others is a priority, brothers and sisters. Being a considerate people, you want to talk about stick out like a sore thumb in society today. I'm talking it will blind them with the brightness if we are to be a considerate people. Think of a man running for president to stand there. Even if the other man is lying, or woman, sorry, I shouldn't have, it could be a woman running. Whoever the other person is, even if they're lying about you, to be considerate enough to stand there and let them have their time. Then when it is your time, you can respond. You want to talk about stick out like a sore thumb? It's impossible. There is no debate of any sort that is handled in that manner where they will just stand there and be considerate, and it's that person's time to talk, and I'm going to let them. Boy, that'd stick out. Everybody would tune into that. So it would be in this town of Guthrie, if we would be considerate, it's going to stand out. If we give preference to others, it is going to stand out like a sore thumb. Titus 3, 1 and 2, let's go back to our scripture reading and really hit this home. Remind them to be subject to the rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. And those good deeds, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for the people you really like the most. For the people that you love. For the people that can help you get ahead in life. Showing every consideration for all men. I don't like the sound of that at all. Right? I mean, it's one thing, okay, we got to be considerate to those we love. That I can deal with that. But to be considerate to people I may not know, I may not like them when I get to know them. That's true. This is not a like, dislike, love, unlove deal. This is, we are to show consideration for all men. So we are not supposed to inconvenience or hurt others. Period. Next time you're at the tire shop and there's kind of a line there, you may be in a hurry. Sure might be. And somebody pulls up there and kind of wedges their way in, even though you is technically the next person in line. Now, I invite you to take a ball peen hammer and go down both sides of their vehicle. No. Let them go in. It's okay. You can come back another time. It may inconvenience you. Brothers and sisters, we are called to inconvenience ourselves to help convenience others. That's what we're called to do. I don't like this lesson, by the way. This is a lesson to Charlie Ward. WBS. We may look at that as not a convenient thing. I hope this lesson will help us in our efforts on Wednesday night to reach out to this town and bring children into here. We are going to be inconvenienced. It's gonna happen. Come whatever the day is, 7th. I hope that's the right date. If it's not the right date, it's the Wednesday, the first Wednesday in September, whatever it is. I think it's the 7th. But anyway, it's on here somewhere. Yes, 7th. We're going to be, come the 7th, it's not going to be just real convenient for us, brothers and sisters. But out of consideration, we are going to inconvenience ourselves to help convenience this community. It's a hassle to drive these buses to pick up kids. It is not the most enjoyable thing. It's not the most terrible thing in the world. I lived in L.A. This ain't nothing compared to L.A. See people pulling guns on each other in broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now we're talking about the real deal. Okay, so this ain't nothing. But we're going to be inconvenienced. But what we're trying to do is convenience them and help make a convenient connection to Jesus Christ for these kids. That's what we're trying to do, is make a convenient connection to them. So, yes, we're going to be inconvenienced, but yet we're conveniently placing Christ before them so they may be able to get to know the one and only Son of God. So, we're going to have consideration for all men. There's something else about consideration that we need to keep in mind, and that is probably one of the roots to problems in congregations. And in 1 Corinthians 12:25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Some say consideration in there in that translation, but if there is a division, if there is a problem, if there is a situation in the church where people are butting heads, it's because we are not having consideration for one another. We are only considering ourselves, most generally. Now, we disguise this and use Scripture as a paddle to beat someone with. And well, but it says here, we disguise trying to get our way and use Scripture to do it. That's what people do. And it creates divisions in the body. And right here, the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Corinth, hey, watch out for this. There's going to be divisions in the body unless you have consideration for others. And that's hard to do. That is hard to do. We forget to consider others. What's one of the reasons we forget to consider others? Well, in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5, such confidence we have, right? But it's through Christ towards God that we have this confidence. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So the reason we forget to consider others is because we think that everything that we are adequate in is from us. And we forget that we are inadequate in everything. We are inept in everything. We are unequipped in everything if it's on our own. It's only from God that we are adequate to do anything. So we get to thinking about ourselves more highly than we should. And we kind of think we got it together. So that's when we start losing consideration for others. And we've got to be careful in not considering others, because we're going to have divisions, we're going to have problems, we're going to butt heads if we don't, as we saw in 1 Corinthians. How is it? Have you ever been to a restaurant? I need a drink, y'all. I was going to try and wrap it up in 2 minutes, but I don't think I'm going to. You ever been to a restaurant and you put your name on the list, right? You put your name on the list and you've been waiting for your table. And you've been waiting. And several people come in after you, and all of a sudden, they're seated before you. Uh-oh. The wrath is fixing to come out of me, because I was here first. I should have been served first, right? We were in line first. And we forget very fast. We lose track of consideration and patience and love and kindness and gentleness and goodness. We lose track of all of that for the sake of a meal. Now, no one in this building gets hangry like Charlie Ward does. I get there. I'm going to tell you what. I reach that point and I need to eat now. And when I need to eat now, I better not go to a restaurant. I better just go ahead and I hope there's some beef jerky in the pickup or something that I can get in there to give me a little something to calm me down, because I am fixing to blow a gasket on someone. So let's just not do that and maybe tone it down so I can be considerate. We forget that others need just as much as consideration as I do. That's what we forget. We think we are the only ones that need consideration, right? Go into the Department of Motor Vehicle or the tag office and go through that circus of it takes forever to get anything done. It does, doesn't it, at the tag office? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a backwards program. But it's not as bad as it used to be. The new office out here is a whole lot better than the old office. The old office, it was a 2 or 3 hour project. I mean, Talk about considering others. One day I was in there last year. I think it was last year. It might have been the year before. I don't remember. Might have been the year before, because it was. I think it was pre-COVID even. So I lose track of time. Okay, big deal. So anyway, them girls behind the counter were not having a good day. Them ladies were strung out. The line was, now that little office in the Guthrie Tag office, it's not very big. Everybody was around the wall, off the counter, and to the door. I cracked the door. I was like, there's no place to stand even. And she said, we'll be with you as quick as we can. And she said, are you needing the driver's license? I said, oh, no, I'm just needing to get a tag for my pickups. Oh, well, we can help you right away. And I could see all the people. So I walk in. I'm known to pour salt on wounds. So I walk in, and the lady behind the counter, well, she got me took care of about that fast. And I turned around, and I said, I bet y'all wish you was doing a tag instead of a driver's license. That was probably not the thing to say at that time. But I could tell them women were not having a good day. And I said, ladies, I appreciate you getting to me like that. Thank you. And I said, y'all need something to drink from Sonic? Well, they popped off whatever it was, and I said, whoa. I was thinking sweet tea, Dr. Pepper, and Coke. Well, they went off on this cherry vanilla, milli vanilli something or other. I don't know. And I was like, I got to write this down. So I got a piece of paper. I said, whoa, say that again. I wrote it down, and I said, okay. So I drove down to Sonic, by the way, which going from the tag office of Sonic, you're heading north. Well, that's a mile from the tag office to the Sonic. And then you got to pull in there, and then you got to order, and then you got to go back to Sonic. But I needed to go on. So I walked into the tag office with those drinks, and them women's eyes were that big. They thought I was a lioness sapsucker they'd ever seen. They had no hope of seeing Charlie Ward again. He was just glad to be out of that building so fast. And I set them drinks down on the counter, and the people sitting there, their eyes was just as big around as the ladies behind the desk. And the guy sitting right there, so you walk in, there's some chairs right here. He's sitting right there, and he said, they never thought they was going to see you again. And I said, well, I'm a man of my word. I said I'd get him a drink. I'm going to get him a drink. I'm not going to tell him I'm going to get a drink, not show back up. Set it down there on the counter. And them women said, thank you. It wasn't the most convenient thing, and I didn't necessarily have the time for it. Brothers and sisters, it's something just as simple as spending, I don't even know what it was happy hour anyway, so it really didn't matter. $3.50 on three drinks, whatever it cost for drinks at that time of the day, larges at Sonic, I think they're $1 a drink during happy hour or whatever it is. Made an impression, and those ladies in that, they have never forgot it. They see me come in, and they remember, all because I had consideration for their day and how it was terrible, and I was going to inconvenience myself to maybe, just maybe, brighten their day just a little bit. Philippians 2, 1 through 7. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Now let's go back to verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Doesn't say most things, but do nothing. We got to do nothing from selfish. And that's the reason that consideration gets thrown out the window is because of selfishness. We want it for ourselves. And I'm worried about me more than I'm worried about you. And this is saying, but with humility of mind, regard others as more important than ourselves. That's exactly what we are doing on Wednesday night, is regarding others as more important than ourselves. And it shows. That's what we are doing when we do the school supply and backpack giveaway. We're regarding others as more important than ourselves. We're showing consideration for them. When many times these people get considered zero. They're not up in stature in the community, and so therefore consideration for them is not much. So we can stick out in this society. Go to verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. So here in verse 3 and in verse 4, we are told some very key words to being a follower of Jesus Christ. If we are going to claim to be like Him, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to look out for the interest of others instead of our own. That's what we're going to have to do. It's not going to be convenient for us. It's not always going to be a straight, nice, red velvet carpet pathway that we can roll on, where there's rose petals flung out for us to walk on, and they're cheering, look at you. It's not what's going to happen. But we're going to do what? Verse 5. Have this attitude, which is what? Looking out and considering others. Not being selfish. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who emptied Himself. Who, although existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. Now, brothers and sisters, if we're going to learn and claim that we are Christ followers, we're going to have to learn how to empty ourselves and be like Christ. That's what we are called to do. That's what the church in Philippi was being told to do, is empty yourself as Christ did. Be like Him. Well, we all want to be like Christ when things are good, right? But we don't want to be like Christ when it comes time for us to be emptied out and poured out and be made into a bond servant and consider others as more important than ourselves. Not as good. That's not what Paul said. As more important than us. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. But we're going to have to. We're going to have to step up to the plate and win this war, because I'm going to tell you what, Satan's on the other side pulling at us. No, you don't want to do that. Think how inconvenient this is going to be for you. You're going to have to drive extra mileage. You're going to have to spend money. You're going to have to take time that you don't have. This is time you could have spent on yourself. This is money you could have spent on yourself. This is a bad idea, Charlie. Keep driving. Don't stop and help. They probably need to go to jail anyway. Right? That's what we think. Nanny's shaking his head. Yeah, they probably do. Anyway, let the police deal with them. They'll come help them. Women, that's probably a good idea. Let someone else deal with that to a certain extent, but there's other ways that we're going to be inconvenienced. There's so many ways to be inconvenienced. And boy, you want to talk about stick out like a sore thumb in this world? I'm telling you, put that up there. Stick out like a sore thumb. We are going to be people who inconvenience ourselves so they will know that we are considering them and regarding them. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is going to stick out like a sore thumb. Talk about a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Talk about a light that is not put under a basket. Consideration will stick out. This morning, if you struggle with this, maybe you haven't been very considerate at all. Maybe been very selfish. Maybe have said, you know what, I've never even thought of consideration. It's time. It's time. We got to be that congregation that is being considerate. Maybe you haven't regarded, maybe you've been thinking of yourself so much that you haven't taken the time to say, I am inadequate without Christ. I am inadequate without God. And you want to change your life and become adequate through Him and equipped by God to take on the tasks of life and the good works that God has put before us. And you want to take Him on in baptism as Alex did this past week. Whatever the case may be, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.
After Charlie's lesson, I'm regret to say I'm going to inconvenience you all here for just a little bit. I've been asked to stand before you this morning and to give some direction. Last week or before, you were told we were going to implement some changes. I'm going to explain some of those changes to you this morning and move forward from there. The shepherds feel that our responsibility to this flock is to ensure your growth, your faith, your ability to make disciples of men, and the changes that we're going to try to implement is to help produce those disciples. So we're going to make a few changes, nothing overtly drastic, but the largest of which probably is beginning September 11th, 9/11, we will no longer be having the traditional Sunday night worship service here at the building. In lieu of that, we are going to implement a series of small group studies taking place in people's homes. Now, there will be in the fellowship building, that will be one of the locations for one of the small groups to hold their Bible study. And it's going to be initially led by Larry, but that will transition perhaps as time progresses. But the others are going to be in individuals' homes. Now, we're not sure the number of small groups, but we'd like to keep it 8, 10, 12 people or so to be able to have better discussions. People would be more open to sharing and learning and doing the Bible studies and those type scenarios. Now, to help us get started with this, Charlie's been given a series of topics that the shepherds have asked him to speak on. And not only is he going to speak on those topics, and I might add too that we, the shepherds, have been considering for quite a while the changes and what we can do to improve the flock's maturity. And this is one of those solutions. And you all responded on those 3x5 cards, helped to reinforce this change. So a lot of that is going to be put into place. But Charlie's lessons are going to be directed, and they're going to have a series of discussion questions. And the small groups that meet Sunday evening, wherever, are going to look at those discussion questions and tear apart Charlie's sermon, as it were, to be able for us, as a group, we're still going to be learning and discussing the same types of things. So if the small group changes or you go someplace else, we're basically still doing the same thing everywhere we're at. We're still going to have the first Sunday singing every week or every first Sunday of the month, as we do today. But then the other 3 weeks will be home studies. And we're once I finally found a actual paper map, I've located everybody's address on that county map or that city map to see if geographically we could break that into the small groups and use people that are fairly close together in the same small groups. We're doing this to benefit the body. Secondly, and maybe more importantly, is we're doing it as an outreach for our friends and neighbors and family. Let's face it, you ask somebody to church, they're gonna go, I don't do church. If you ask somebody to come into your home for a study in a small group, you're more apt to get a positive response. This is an outreach. Don't mistake that for anything else. We want to evangelize Guthrie. I firmly believe that door knocking, gospel meetings is not the way to do it. The way to do it is through friendship evangelism. You make friends of people, you let them know that you care about them, and then maybe then they're willing to listen to what you have to say. Or they'll ask, you're different. You stand out like a sore thumb. Why? Are you just crazy? And it'll give us, hopefully, opportunity to share the gospel with others in a home setting where everybody will feel comfortable and where we'll be able to go ahead and work on that. This is not a program that's set in stone. We're going to tweak this thing as it floats along, because right now we're just four dumb guys that don't have a clue. And we're just trying to make it work out for the benefit of the body and to be more Christ-like in how we deal with people. So if you have any questions, ask one of the other three elders, and maybe they'll be able to help you out with that. But that's where we're going. And people, don't be offended that Sunday evening traditional worship is going away. That's only about an 80-year-old practice anyway. It's not from 2,000 years ago. We're trying to be more like the first century church that we see in the book of Acts chapter 2. That's what we're trying to accomplish. That's where we're trying to go. And so we just ask for your patience with us, your cooperation with us, We're going to be asking some of you if you're willing to host. And just because you host, you don't have to teach. Just because you teach, you don't have to be in your own home. Some people, you may go to refreshments and there may be full meals in your small groups. That will be an evolving process that will be determined as you go down the road and as each small group sees fit. And we'll still come back together for our first monthly singing with a fellowship meal to follow. So we still have that bond, okay? So that's what we're proposing. We hope you all are on board with us. Let's pray about it. Father God, as we come before you this morning, we are humbled to be able to approach your throne. Father, to be able to come before the Creator, the Sustainer of life, and to be able to make our requests known to you, to make our desires known, our wants, our wishes. Father, we just pray that as the shepherds here, you would direct us in the way that you want us to go, that, Father, we just pray for wisdom, for knowledge, for being able to direct the flock here in the way that you would want us to walk. Father, we're grateful for all that you do for us each and every day, for your written word and for the power that it has within it, that it can change hearts and change minds. And Father, we just pray that as we move forward in this new direction, that you would bless this effort. And Father, as always, if this is not your will, that you would defeat us, that you would allow us to back up and reconsider and to re-examine things. And Father, we've gone before you in prayer and asked that you would direct us. And Father, again, that's what we ask that you would do. Father, we're also mindful of the drought through much of this area, through the states. And Father, we just pray that you would bless us with rain. Father, we look elsewhere in the nation and see the flooding and the abundance of rain that they've had, and we just think that maybe we should have had a little of that, and we just pray, Lord, that you would bless us in such a way. Continue to be with us and strengthen us. Thank you so much for your Son, for the life that he gave on the cross, for him loving us enough to put his own consideration aside and to undergo the cruel death that he did. It's in him that we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Number 759. We'll sing the... Oops, let me turn it over here. Got the back side there. First and last verse. We're going to have one more song before we have prayer. Steve asked me, he goes, Kurt, you got two songs after the invitation. I go, yeah, I know. That's all right.
759. Shall we gather at the river where
Steve, we're just going to sing the first verse only. 414, then we'll have our closing prayer, then we'll have announcements. First verse only.
Heavenly Father, we thank for this day that you've given us. Father, we come before you in respect and honor. We acknowledge you as God and recognize that we need you in all things. Father, we ask you to bless us, bless this congregation, to do your will, to be light in the community around us, to be that salt and that light on the city of the hill. Father, help us as we go about our daily activities to remember that we represent you and that the public has their eye on us, and help us to glorify you with our lives. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the prosperity that we have, and help us to share the good things we have with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.